Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome back. It's Recovery Sort Of, the podcast, where we explore the struggles of life, the challenges of mental health and recovery, and the spaces between. We express our personal views on life here, and this podcast is not meant to replace medical advice or tell anyone the right way to live. This podcast is best used as a place of curiosity and questioning to accompany you on your journey. Be aware there is strong language. Here we go. Basically, that it can wait for now is I need to wait till I find a way I can say it without sounding like an asshole, right? I know I can't right now. I'm still very, very activated around a lot of it. But yeah, that's what our close people do. We programmed in all that stuff about connection and disconnection and love, and they trigger the shit out of us.
Yeah, and I think that's why I was a little confused about the reparenting ourselves when our parents are still alive, because I think any people in our lives that we're super close to can trigger us in that way. Like, it doesn't have to just be a parent. It can be a sibling. It can be a spouse. It can be, you know, anyone that we've let into that inner layer can then kind of stir all that stuff up. So the reparenting feels very separate from like, oh, it's my parent. Unless you're still, maybe, are you still looking to your mom to be that inner parent, to fulfill that inner parent need?
I think that's the case. Because for me, like, it's still, you both have explained how it's separate issues, but for me, it's still like kind of like enmeshed. And I'm going to need some like meditation time, like some sitting with it. I still feel like I have this idealistic view. Like, I want her to be the one.
You know, she's going to change and fill
like,
that role.
Yeah, like there's like
person.
This hope Oof. In me. Acceptance. Like, come on. And then I think what I do is I kind of fall for it. Like, we had that, like, we have like a period of time and it's cool, but then I see myself slipping into the old, the guilt foo ways, the, you know, you said gaslighting too. I only realized recently, I'm like, this is gaslighting. This has been happening. Oh my goodness. And when I have cut those people out of my life, old friends, you know, old employers, old like spaces and places, like, but I still have this one thing, you know, it's like my mom, family, and I feel like I'm not strong enough. Like, I should be better, you know, like.
Well, are you a conflict avoidant person? Like, do you avoid conflict? Like, I avoid conflict.
I am. I talk a good game, but I am conflict avoidant.
And I think for me, I've learned, like, you can't stand up for yourself and totally avoid conflicts all the time. Like, those two things don't exist. And so, like, even in my marriage, like, we would get in a fight. And to me, that's like the end of the world. And divorce and whatever else, and you know, it's like, well, no, people just have disagreements and you can work through them. It's not, I mean, as long as it doesn't get to like fist fighting or name calling or, you know, whatever, like, you can work through that stuff. It's not the end of the world if you have a disagreement with your parents or your siblings.
Yeah, I get
or shouldn't
so
be.
Like, anytime I've brought up a conflict between us, I'm so punished by it. For weeks and months, it comes back. And I used to do the same thing, though, back when I was, you know, before I started taking charge of my life. But
right. So it's this interesting thing. I sit across from people all week long and tell them what I see in them, and they can't never believe me because they're programmed to have a core belief that there's something else, and that's the only thing they can accept and take in. It's a CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy idea that, like, basically once we have a core belief, everything that doesn't align with that deflects off of it. And we have the research that says we see more what we go into a situation looking for than what is actually in front of our eyes. And so, like, I don't necessarily have to feel punished by someone's punishment when I can correct the way that my core belief feels and knows that I didn't do anything wrong, right? And then I can actually turn on the reparenting part to come in and say, hey, it really hurts to get treated and punished like this when you didn't do anything wrong. God, that's such an awful feeling. How can we take care of you, Jenny?
Nice. And this is, that's kind of what I meant when I said I need a more detached relationship. That's the kind of stuff I'm thinking of. Mm. Like, if I can just be like, not so emotionally invested in that relationship.
Yeah, it's tricky. I don't know. We say emotionally invested a lot, but I think it's the nervous system state that it puts us in. I don't know that it's an emotion, right? Like that anxiety, irritation, agitation kind of state that I came in with today, Billy. That's really that fight or flight nervous system. That's not really a feeling. And then that like disconnect and withdrawn kind of feeling is more the freeze of the nervous system, and it lingers, and it's really hard to tolerate because it's a pretty miserable or suffering type experience, whereas like a feeling is, I feel like we're way better at that when we're calm.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I don't know, and I'm not sure whether you're talking about being around her puts you in that state or if it's a feeling that you get. I don't know.
It does sometimes. It does, because I have had to do certain, I've been practicing with this because it's a different topic. I've been actually working through this anger workbook and learning how to like calm my body. It happens, my chest gets tight, the head squeeze. And if I can just take a couple calming breaths, it makes such a difference dealing with my kids and dealing with her. And sometimes I'll feel that spinning up, or even if it's like she's coming over, she says she's going to be here at one time. She's still not there an hour later. And I'm like, I got to take that deep breath to like, cause when she does come, I'm going to be all spun up cause I was expecting her an hour ago, you know, like, so, but it's so weird to be like, to be hanging out and being like having to take calming breaths like every 4 minutes, like it's not very natural, but if I can, yeah, maintain that calmness, I can approach it that way.
There was something that got expressed earlier that I guess it kind of like said, man, that might be a good line of thing to talk about. And it was this idea of like, I think Billy and Jenny both expressed that your parents weren't like necessarily evil people, right? They're good people. They just have this thing. And like, maybe that could mean to continue having them in your life in some variety. And I think that's part of the question you've had, Jenny, is like, do I need to disconnect more from this person in order to be able to reparent or not? And I think it's an interesting debate because one of the things I've read and that I've seen in my house, and this is more the other direction, is that like I was unable to tolerate my nervous system because that's what my father couldn't do. He couldn't tolerate other people's feelings, right? So when that got jacked up, he had to shut everything in the house down for him to be okay again. And that's what I did, right? Bullied. I would get on people and stop them and pick on them and all that good stuff. And like, I see this in my older son towards my younger son. And from what I've read, like, I gotta shut this off. I gotta stop this. Because even if I'm better, if I'm allowing that to continue to go on in relationships with my children, they're still getting the same shit I would have been giving them anyway, right? They're still getting hurt. They're still getting the trauma. And like, I guess it just put a huge emphasis on the first step is that's gotta stop. And so like, I've made extreme efforts in my house to like try to stop that behavior. And that's one of the things that I do run through my mind when I'm thinking about like, you know, questioning the big question, is my mother going to end up in my life or not, or through all this, like while she's not talking to me, it's like, I got to protect my kids somehow. And when I let her watch them, I'm not, she's not aware of herself. She doesn't know the things she does that causes this in people, you know? And like, that's a big question. That's a big question. Cause we're talking about the trauma of our children that's going on. And like, pretty sure you can guarantee it's happening if you got some of it when you were little. Like, it ain't changed that much.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I remember some traumatizing things that my grandparents instilled in me, so I know it's happening. Like, you know, they might have thought they were doing their best, but I'm like, grandma talked to me this way. That's now I know that's not how you talk to children.
Well, and I think sometimes that's where it gets really tricky, because part of the story of compassion. We're trying to have compassion for ourselves and other people in the world and everything. And it says, like, they were doing their best. And I totally believe that. They couldn't have done any better. They didn't have better information. Nobody taught them. And I feel like when we can say something like that, and then we also add in they're not totally evil, it's just these couple of behaviors about them, then we start to get maybe a little more wishy-washy about letting them around people that they can fucking hurt. And that's dangerous to me. I think it's a really important decision to make.
Well, there were some things with my mom, I think, that led us, I mean, she's passed now, but that led us to want to continue a relationship with her and let us around our kids. And one of them was that she wasn't, like, she was receptive to things that we talked about when we said, hey, you know what I mean? Like, this is a boundary or this is an issue. She wasn't like, get away from me. I don't want to talk to you. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, and she didn't always like it. And, you know, she might have thought we were being ridiculous or whatever, but she didn't put it down. And she seemed like to authentically try her best to change. You know what I mean? Now, she was still who she was at her core because that's who she was, but she definitely got better, you know, with the kids. And like, we would joke all the time, you know, my sister and like with all our kids, like, you guys have no idea how mean she used to, like, they thought she was this nice, sweet lady because she didn't cuss at them all the time, you know, because right, she had right. stopped doing a lot of those behaviors. So that was one thing. But I've worked with guys and sponsored guys that have tried to put boundaries with parents, and their parents haven't respected them, and they have cut them out of their life. At least two of them I know of, and, you know, one of them still doesn't talk to his dad and was like, I tried. I set some boundaries, said some things that this behavior wasn't okay. He wasn't willing to change or do anything different. And at the time, I was like, I can't, you're going to just completely cut your dad out. Like, how do you do that? But, you know, now I get it. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see.
It seems like maybe, though, the difference between the parent's ability to traumatize the child and the grandparent's ability to traumatize the grandchild is the presence of that parent who can be that healthy attachment figure for the children. I was listening to an audiobook, and this is why I hate audiobooks, because I heard a study cited, and I couldn't go back and reference it later because I was like, where in the audiobook was this study? And now I've even forgotten which book it was that I was listening to.
It's got a bookmark feature.
But I was driving. Yeah, so the study basically was around attachment, and it was saying that you only need a certain amount of healthy connection with your primary caregiver to not develop insecure attachment. And it was a low number. It was like,
I want to see the study now.
I wish I could find it. It was something like you only need like 30% connection, or
it's the same study that says over 50% of people are securely attached. Oh, so.
Yeah, well, for me, hearing this, I was like, damn, my parents couldn't even get 30% or whatever the number was,
whatever low bar.
I'm like, this is, that wasn't even, you know,
probably accurate, but still.
So I think, you know, and they do say there's like these buffering influences, right? Like, even if you're raised in these like traumatic, dysfunctional homes, the more people outside the home, teachers, parents or grandparents, aunts and uncles, other healthy adults that even if you don't live with them, they can have these buffering influences. Mm-hmm. I think there's, you know what I mean? For your kids to be exposed to your mom occasionally and she's doing these things, well, if you're doing the complete opposite of that the rest of the time, it's not going to have, I mean, I don't know, but it's likely not going to have the impact on them that it had on you when that was your primary caregiver and you had nothing else.
But it can still be very hurtful.
Yeah, for sure.
Be lifelong traumatizing, but it can still be. I mean, my daughter, like even now, you know, my middle daughter, like she knows that her grandmother favored her sister over her. Like that's an obvious. Like, we still joke about it, you know, as a thing, but they were all aware. Right.
But isn't life hurtful too, though? And isn't that then a, and I'm just being devil's advocate
resilience?
Here.
Is that what we call that word? Resilience?
And I don't have kids, so take it with a grain of salt. But isn't part of the job as a parent to teach our kids how to process hurtful situations or non-optimal situations? And so when people hurt us, how do we handle that? And that becomes an opportunity.
I would say that is definitely one of the top priorities for parents. It probably comes just under providing them a safe environment from the start and not putting them in that environment where they're going to be hurt, you know? Like even knowing, okay, most of the time my kids are around my mom, I'm there and I can buffer that. But then sometimes they want to spend the night at her house and like she wants to spend the night with them. And some of that is beautiful because she'll read with them and talk with them. And like sometimes my ears need a break. And but do I want to send them over there knowing that some of those things can happen that really hurt me when I was little? Do I want to put them through that even for a night just because I know it ain't going to affect them in the grand scheme of life?
Right.
Or is it like the abusive relationship where it's like, well, this person's really good over here, but you know, then they abuse you over here.
It's a, you just gotta tolerate that.
You just gotta take the abuse part, like the pain. That's part of what comes.
There you go. It's probably another of my mom's sayings. You gotta take the good with the bad.
So here's a question for you though, just out of interest. If you guys could keep your children from ever getting hurt, you could put them in a bubble where they still get to live life, but they never get their feelings hurt for the first 18 years of their life. And then you know that they're going to go to college and get their feelings. Like, would you do that?
A lot of parents say, yes, I watch it.
Yeah, but you guys.
My kids specifically go to a school that promotes like failure and coming up short and all that stuff. So I would say no. Like, they're not in a school that caters to that sort of ideology. So yeah,
interesting. I mean, I'm a firm believer in like some, you know, safety at home. I am, you know, like I want them to know they're always safe with me, and I'm not going to be the one who's going to challenge them, like, to train them life skills. Life will train them life skills, and then they can always come back to me for refuge and safety,
right?
You know, like, so I'm not going to put them in purposely put them in a painful situation.
Right. Like, yeah, and it's a unrealistic. I mean, you can't do that, right? They're always going to encounter pain at some point in life.
Yeah.
So it's unrealistic.
I'm not a tough love person. No, life will teach them life lessons. I want them to always know that they can come to me. I mean, I guess that'll change when they're teenagers. You know, like, there's going to be certain things. Like, I'm not going to cave to every whim, you know, like, but...
Your kid didn't experience pain when you told them they weren't allowed to play with the fire or the stove or put things in their mouth like thumbtacks or Legos. I'm pretty sure they experienced pain at the hands of you.
Have you guys seen that thing on Facebook where it's like reasons my toddler cried? And it's like, I wouldn't let them go swimming when it's 10 degrees in the ocean and the kid's like throwing a temper tantrum.
That's funny. I definitely think I have like milder girls. Like, they didn't do like a ton of like, my kids were not putting their hand in the fire. Like,
they never had a tantrum when you had to take a toy away, or they weren't sharing well, or.
Oh my gosh. No, they didn't have
anything but cake.
No, we didn't have a lot of tantrums. Like,
my kids always cry when I say no.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not gonna say there never was one, but like, I guess I was lucky because I was home. And so like, if I saw like, I tried to set up a scenario where like tantrums won't happen, like make sure they're rested and fed, you know, like.
That's awesome.
And I'm not perfect for sure.
No,
but like, I tried to decrease the amount of environmental hazards that cause tantrums. Like we're not going shopping if you're tired and cranky.
I'm a better parent for 10 years old and above. The 10 and under is not.
Oh,
for
and
me.
That's probably when, that's probably when as they're getting to be teenagers, I got tweens now, I guess, but
gets harder.
Yeah, no doubt.
What we operated under, and what I think a lot of families do, is my nervous system and my wife's really struggled to accept or tolerate the nervous system reaction and dysregulation of our children. And so eventually they became the dictators who got what they wanted more often than not. And that created a dysfunctional system, right? A system out of order where people's wants are being met instead of the needs of the family. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to do that, but I did it for a long time. You know, tried not to upset them or not hurt them. not understanding that I was hurting them long term that direction. Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about kids need, like they like boundaries. They do better when they understand clearly where the guardrails are and clearly what is expected, and they do so much better than if you just let them, oh, just figure everything out on your own.
Like, yeah, actually, so that's true. There is a boundary right now. Like, so they're easing into like higher level chores around the house. And man, you know, especially the 10-year-old doesn't want to vacuum or help me with the dishes. So yeah, I guess I am inflicting pain. Like, yeah. I get that, oh.
Get them, Jenny.
Like, I have to put my Roblox aside so to help you with the dishwasher. I'm like, it takes 5 minutes. Mm. You know, like.
Ooh, yeah. Don't do that.
5 minutes of suffering.
Don't do that.
You're inflicting 5 minutes of suffering.
Understand. I don't want to stop what I'm doing to do the fucking dishes.
Oh, no, I do
either.
Company okay, with that. Yeah, okay, yeah. How I'm talking now is not how I talk to her.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
no.
That's
perfect
not how I talk to
then.
Her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Between
us,
yeah. I'm like,
it's fucking 5 minutes. God damn.
No, that's not how I talk to her.
No. Between us, yes, it's absolutely 5 minutes. What the fuck is wrong with our kids?
In my head. Oh, my God, my language in my head. Yeah.
Yeah.
I say terrible things in my head.
Yeah.
That's not what comes out of my mouth.
That's perfect. Yes. No, that's absolutely how I feel too.
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with these kids?
I say, I'm like, I know, honey, I know you're in the middle of your game, but let's do this now because, you know, I want to rest and you want to rest. Let's get it done now. And then we can both chill and do our own thing.
I love that.
That's and hopefully awesome. When she's an adult, she can say that to herself.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. Because the inner voice in my head, not so nice, you know, but that's
well,
what
the
I'm
inner
trying
voice
to
in my head says, no, you don't have to do that shit. Just don't do that shit.
That's a really nice inner voice.
Yeah. Too nice.
You know, taking it back a little, talking about like cutting off a parent or a grandparent from the grandkids. I remember early in the grandparenting world an experience I got asking my mom when I only had 3 kids at the time to stop giving them sugary drinks when she watched them, right? Because we were trying to limit sugar at that point in time in my life, and I didn't have the space to really be good at setting boundaries. We asked her a couple times. It was obvious she was not going to listen. She was going to do all the McDonald's sweet tea and fruit juice she felt like fucking doing. And like what I had come to at that point in time, which I look back and wish I had the space to do something better, but I didn't. I had a whole bunch of other fucking internal struggles going on. But what I really wish that I'd been able to do is carry that out further, because that was the same problem, right? And I could have addressed it a long fucking time ago, 15, 16, 14, 13 years ago. But what I came to for me at the time, because I didn't have the space, was like, I don't want to end up being, and this dates me a little bit, I don't want to be one of those families on Maury that says the grandparent isn't allowed to see the grandchildren anymore. Like, that's what I was relating it to. And I'm like, I don't want to try to have that battle. Like, that's where I kept going. It almost feels similar to maybe where you might be. Like, sometimes, like, I don't want to go through all this and cut people off and all. And, like, I just wish I would have had the space to now. I probably could have helped a long time ago, you know?
It's so, for me, and again, I'm such an outsider to this, but it's so disrespectful when you're making a choice to parent your child in a certain way and you say, this is how I'm choosing to parent my child. I need you to align, to just be like, no, I'm going to do something totally different. Like, it's just this lack of respect. That's hard to wrap.
You say that, right?
Yeah.
But you have very strong beliefs about what the people out here in the world, how they're supposed to act in certain situations. And that's exactly what my mother had and gave me all my life. This programming that there's a one right way to be, and that is to be fucking what everybody else wants you to be, basically, at all times. And it's impossible. Because you're always going to be disappointing one of them people when you can't live up to all that. But like, so I get how you feel like it could be so crazy in this situation. And trust me, there's days I feel that same way. I'm like, how the fuck could people be so disrespectful, right? But like, I think we're all doing this. There's always that person I see in public when I'm like, that ain't the fucking way to be.
Or I just think, I know there's been times we've had like other families' kids at our house, whether it's my nieces and nephews or some other friends of theirs that are at the house. And you're like, doing something, they're like, oh, we're not allowed to do this at home at all, you know? And it's like, man, it's my house, don't say nothing, you know? Like, and it doesn't feel disrespectful in that moment,
right?
You know?
Right,
it feels
right.
Like, oh, it's not a big deal, it's just right. Now, it's and house. It's convenient for me, and this is what we do. And
yeah.
There's a lot of
sense.
that goes along with it.
My rules are the best rules.
Inconveniencing.
Yeah.
Sorry, your parents are dumb, but my rules are the best rules.
Now, it is still disrespectful, but it doesn't feel like it in the moment.
No, I think that's a valid point.
And that's what my mother always said, was she defended that's the grandparents' role. That's what grandparents do. They spoil the kids and send them back. Right. That's what they get to do, right? Yeah, they get to do that. Yeah. They raised their children and got to follow all the rules. Now they get to do it willy-nilly.
Right, so now I get to poison my grandchildren with sugar.
Right? Doesn't it sound fucking stupid?
Yes.
This is a generational generalization, but they feel like you owe me. I mean,
oh my God,
our parents' generation, it's like, I earned the right to do this. You owe me. I did this for you. Now I get to do this. And yeah. So part of me is like, yes, I do owe this to you. And I'm like, wait a second. No, I don't.
That's the program we got. Yeah. I feel like the baby boomers talk about, and this is a very overgeneralization too, but it seems like they point the finger at all this entitlement. And like, that's where I feel like it comes from. Right? It feels like this, I'm allowed to be this way. This is how it should be. This is what America's supposed to be. This is how it's always been. This is what it was like when it was good. Like, and I just don't understand. I really don't. I'm like, my mother can't see that I'm a different person. She thinks all humans are the same people and they're all just like her and we all are supposed to just be like her. And when we're not, that's fucking wrong. And I'm like, dude, I'm Jason. I'm not you. I need other shit than you got. And that's where we've been having a fucking issue since I was born. You ain't seen that yet. I'm about to turn 44.
And I wouldn't want my children to feel that way about me. I don't want my children to do things to please me. And so why am I still doing...
Right. You're teaching acting. Them that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Any other thoughts? Do we cut them off or do we keep them? What do we do?
Well, there's got to be a middle way. That's what I'm like striving for. Like, there's got to be a middle way. Like the boundaries you talked about. Like, so anytime any of you mentioned boundaries in this episode, my like heart lit up. I'm like, that's it. I just got to figure out the right boundaries to make this work. Because I want this to work, but I definitely have to separate the real mom and the reparenting mom in my head.
Yeah, for me, I feel like, my parents haven't been parents since, I don't know if ever, quite honestly, but certainly definitely not long before they should have stopped being parents. I mean, I moved out when I was 16, so I had no parents before I was even an adult, but so it's very easy for me to say this, right? But as an adult, the parent that I need today is never going to be something another adult person can provide because they're not in my head. Does that make sense? So like I could never expect my parents, I couldn't expect them to be parents when I was a small, simple child, but I can't expect my parents to be able to reparent me or provide that level of parenting that I, as a complex, almost 40-year-old human with many, many life experiences far outside of anything they even have visibility to, could provide. They're not with me 24/7. They just don't have, you know, even if they were the most skilled parent in the whole world and so compassionate and knowledgeable, they're not in my head. I don't know if I'm verbalizing that.
I get it. I think I tend to in some ways disagree a little bit because from what I understand, the therapist is trying to give that corrective experience 1 hour a week, right? So that they can become the new voice in your head, the new reparent. And like, honestly, in situations where we're able to include a parent and the parent is able to hear in a different place and do different things, it's fucking super helpful for reparenting and healing, right? So it's like, really, yes, I need this voice to ultimately end up in my head, but how did the inner critic motherfucker that beats me up all the time end up in there? Well, from somebody doing it to me all the time. And if somebody was just fucking loving me as a great parent all the time, that would be my new voice that I get. So I do think there's an ability for other people outside of us to help that.
Yeah, I agree. Teach it, right? Like model teach it. Yeah, model it, but not be it. My therapist can't be my inner parent 24. She's not with me 24/7. She's not hearing everything. She can show me what it looks like a little bit, but ultimately she's teaching me to be that for myself.
Well, that's what your parents were supposed to be doing. Oh, what yes. they did wrongly right? anyway.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. For sure. But to expect them now to be able to do it?
Well, I think what, Caroline, I believe what you're talking about is that's what a healthy adult is. Like, I'm able to give myself better information than the shitty information I got as a kid. You know what I mean? Like, I've been able to do that. You know, but it's taken some work to get that information.
Without the outside person, because it didn't happen in the first place without the outside person. You know what I mean? Like,
you mean the corrective part?
It took somebody outside of us giving us something for us to pick up on that and create the first voice.
But you think it needs to be a person? Can it be like audiobooks or group therapy? Or think we need a specific person modeling that stuff?
Do you?
That's interesting.
Do you think that there are healthy 40-year-olds, just picking on because that's where all about there, that had such a, you know, zero on the ACEs score, such a healthy environment growing up, such a functional relationship with their parents that they're still getting that parenting from their parent and don't need to have an inner, they've created that inner voice as a function of what happened in their childhood. Right. So that's why I'm saying I think maybe that's the missing piece is like even in those best case scenarios, they're not now getting that from an external source because they already have it internally. So for me to expect to get it from my parent at this point in life.
But I feel like that same individual, like, okay, if I got the wrong programming, where would I know even to start to how to give myself the right one from just inside? It's like I have to again say, oh, what I got was wrong. Now I need to go seek outside stuff that's better than that to find a way to get that in me.
Yeah, but I don't know that it needs to be, I don't know, and maybe it becomes your sponsor. So, I mean, a lot of this is tackled within ACA too, right? So it's interesting for me because I'm in therapy and I'm seeing my therapist twice a week, but I'm also in ACA and I'm working steps with a sponsor and there's the parallel paths, right? Like my therapist has me working on an inner resource team, which is like a bunch of like, there's like Lily's mom and there's like nanny Caroline. Like there's all of these inner people in me that are kind of that inner parent. And then in ACA, it's the more traditional inner parent. And I'm not there yet. Like I've not figured any of this out, but, you know, in ACA, you are kind of creating that loving inner parent in the absence of a therapist being it for you first. So maybe it's your sponsor being it for you, but I don't feel like it is because the conversations I'm having with my sponsor are like, here's what that inner parent would look like. Tell yourself this. It's not my sponsor being like, oh, Caroline, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's what she's saying to me is your inner parent needs to. And kind of like just helping me make sense of that.
Is it working?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit. I mean, it's new and I'm still figuring it out. There's a lot there. And yeah, but yeah, it is working. It's working.
I guess, and this is the closest thing I can make sense of it to make sense with how I understand it. She's still compassionately meeting you with something new. That's the reparenting she's given you. Hey, when you come with problems, it doesn't have to be that you're a bad person or you fucked up. It could just be that there's this thing inside you that's yucky that somebody else gave you. And like, maybe we just need to work with that. That feels really fucking compassionate as a response. Like, and very contrasty to what I got from my parents when I had issues. Right. So like, I think that is the reparenting you're getting. So maybe the question is, I think it takes somebody or some information at least. Maybe that could be an audiobook. I've never actually considered that, Billy. That's a good question. Or podcast. Like, I think that can help, actually. Could be very similar. I mean, if you're internalizing it and feeling it and hearing it, same idea. But, yeah, I do think it's going to take something outside of us to put in us to be a different parent. Does it have to be our actual parent if they're still alive? Fuck no, it doesn't have to be because chances are they're not going to change, right? But if they can, they would be a huge asset. That's what I would leave it at. They would be a huge piece of inspiring healing and growth and change in that. But it doesn't have to be them, no. I don't know. Anything else? That was all. Cool. See you next week. Reparent yourselves well. Have you found that listening to the Recovery Sort Of podcast has helped you in your day-to-day journey? Please share the message of compassion and well-being with the loved ones in your life. Connect with us more at recoverysortof.com, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, and other social media spaces. And have a great week.